You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Allison Keyes in the Washington Bureau. It's a slippery mess on the streets and highways in California amid that winter storm with its blizzard and flash flood warnings. KNX reporter John Baer tells us Interstate 5 has been closed for a second time.
CHP officer Joshua Greengars told me they try to keep that vital highway open, but it just gets too dangerous describing what it was like after they closed the freeway the first time.
It's a lot of snow, a lot of ice. The visibility is down to 50 to 80 feet. And when you're driving with a visibility of that, it's not safe.
So the snow keeps falling, the rain keeps coming down, and drivers have had some pretty harrowing commutes because of flooding. There have been a lot of spinouts and accidents.
Ukraine is now in its second year of its bruising war with Russia. Former heavyweight boxing champion Vladimir Klitschko, who was also the mayor of Kyiv's brother, test drove a German-made tank, thanking that nation and others for supporting Ukraine.
A year of war in Ukraine, a year of suffering, and a year of getting our willpower stronger than ever. As strong as this tank. Thank you, Germany. Thank you, the free world, for all that you do for us. Ukrainians.
Disbarred South Carolina attorney Alex Murdoch took the stand for a second day Friday, trying to blame someone else for the murders of his wife and son. CBS's Nikki Batiste has been in court.
The person or people who did what I saw on June the 7th, they hated Paul Murdoch.
What I'm telling you.
But prosecutor Creighton Waters insists Murdoch is the killer and grilled him for nearly 6 hours about his repeated lying.
And you've been able to lie quickly and easily and convincingly if you think it'll save your skin for well over a decade.
Good news for those worrying about the flu. CBS's Michael George.
Two new studies show the vaccine for this flu season worked well. The combined data finds vaccines reduce the risk of flu illness requiring a doctor's visit by 54% for kids and adults younger than 65. For children alone, the vaccine reduced the risk of symptomatic illness by 71%.
Former Vice President Mike Pence says he'll decide by spring whether he'll run for president in 2024 against his former boss. He tells NBC News that by then, his family expects to have a very clear sense of its calling. But the special counsel investigating former President Trump is trying to get a federal judge to compel Pence's testimony in a probe over efforts to overturn the 2020 election. This is CBS News.
Staples stores are a new world of possible with innovative tools for small business and remote workers and learners. Explore more at your local Staples store.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Home heating bills in Wisconsin are going up this winter. Experts say there are steps you can take to reduce the impact. Mike Moen has more.
The Energy Information Administration predicts that Midwest households that rely on natural gas will spend an average of $1,000 on heating bills this winter. That's a 33% increase over last year. Whitney Hayes of the energy nonprofit Elevate agrees the region will see cost headaches in the coming months.
We're expecting gas prices to continue to go up this winter because of things like the war in Ukraine, and we're still doing a lot of recovery from COVID and shipping and supply shock and whatnot. So
she advises that small things such as making sure there's air sealing around windows and doors can produce savings on your bill. And energy experts say electric heat pumps have come down in price and are now more reliable in extremely cold weather. David Kalata of the Citizens Utility Board agrees that heat pumps are a strong alternative to natural gas, but he stresses they still might be out of reach for low-income households and that policymakers need to offer more incentives to make them accessible to everyone. Meanwhile, he says maximizing these options will make a difference.
And if you take advantage of this program and then you'll seal cracks in windows and maybe install energy-efficient light bulbs, all of that works together holistically.
For those worried about their heat being disconnected this winter, most Midwestern states have cold weather rules, which require utilities to offer a payment arrangement to avoid that scenario.
Budget billing programs don't save you money over the course of a year, but they smooth out your payments, so you pay less in the winter and more in the summer.
Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Here to talk more about it is totally, definitely... not an impersonator, but the actual Ron Johnson.
When you guys are out here talking about, oh, you know, the roads are tough and, you know, it's here are some issues in Wisconsin, like election map. You know, talk to me when you get inside an alien spaceship and actually talk to an alien, okay? Because that's something that I'm interested in, because that's what Wisconsin families want to know. What's going on inside with those little guys?
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Did you shovel yourself out of your driveway this morning? Did you get stuck in a snowbank? Did you have some chili with too much pasta in it last night
that
like
was
I
so
did?
Funny.
Pro tip, if you look up a chili recipe and it doesn't have pasta in it, don't think you can just use all of the same ratios, and adding a box of pasta will not just make it into pasta with chili as the sauce.
You added an entire box of pasta?
I did.
Yeah, that's a little much.
That's too much.
Mm-hmm.
It was too much.
Mm-hmm.
I had no supervision. And so it was still good. It just wasn't what I thought it was going to be.
More like a chili hot dish.
Yeah, exactly. How are you doing, Jane Madner?
I am good. I want to share something that I saw on my way into work this morning that I have never seen before.
Okay.
In all of the years I've been driving in terrible weather to get to work and from work. So as I'm driving out to Waukesha today, I make a turn and there is a car turning behind me. Now, what a pain for people who have to park outside.
Yeah.
Because their cars get covered with snow. And so this guy had a good 4 inches of snow on the top of his vehicle. And as he turned, all of it slid onto his windshield, completely covering the windshield. And it's so heavy that his wipers could not get it. So he actually stopped traffic because he couldn't see.
Was this on a... This
it happened this morning.
Was it on like a side road or was it a busy street?
It was on Barstow. Yeah. So he actually completely stopped traffic because...
He didn't even pull over?
He couldn't see.
Oh, wow.
So I kept driving. I don't know what happened.
Did you call someone to tell them that he was driving bad?
Who would I call?
Have a bumper sticker, so I call my wife. I'm driving.
If I had had a number, I would have called. But just a tip, maybe as much of a pain as it is, and I know it's a pain to try and, you know, brush all that stuff off, especially because this stuff... weighs like 9,000 pounds.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy.
But just keep that in mind.
I had the feeling of being very appreciative for the very gendered roles we have in our marriage. I came downstairs after I was prepping for today's show, and Mike walked in just totally covered in sweat. Because he had not only shoveled and snowblowed our entire area, he did like the whole block.
That's so nice. My husband will do that too.
Yeah. And so I think, and so then he had a well-deserved nap.
Cool.
So he laid down almost immediately after doing that.
Yeah.
And so.
It really though, if you have elderly people in your neighborhood, you may want to give them a hand today, because this is the heart attack stuff. It is. It's really heavy. It's deceitful, you know, because it's only a couple of inches. So if you can help out a neighbor, that would be good.
Yeah, we really didn't get hit with that much. And it didn't seem, I don't know, I can't tell what it was like up north. But as far as for us,
this wasn't terrible.
I got home safe. We all got home safely yesterday.
Yep.
We stayed inside this morning. I was a little like, there was a little bit of that kid element of, ooh, are we going to get a snow day? It's going to be too hard for Jane and I to get into the studio and I get a day off. But no.
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 We are here.
We're here.
And we have guests,
and
too.
We have a great show. I am so excited for this. He's going to make my job easy today. So at noon today, former editor of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, 43 years of journalism.
Wow.
Been retired now for 2 months. George Stanley is going to be here for the full hour. And so I have already started crowdsourcing some questions that some journalists over at and journalists and editors over at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel told me that I should ask him. But we're going to have a very freewheeling conversation as far as what's next, his career, how journalism has changed, how Wisconsin has changed. Apparently, he has a really good Bart Starr story. So we'll hear some of his favorite stories.
Oh,
but
I bet he's got dozens of
them. Yeah, and so he's going to be in studio for the full hour from noon to one. And so definitely stay tuned for that. And also, if you have questions for him as someone who, you know, was the editor of, well, he worked at the Sentinel and was there through so many changes of the merger between the Sentinel and the Journal, and then obviously being taken over by Gannett and then being the editor and all the different things. So if you have questions for George Stanley, text him in now, 844-967-2789. And then right before that, at 11:30, former candidate for U.S. Senate and current executive of the Milwaukee Bucks, Alex Lazary, is going to be here because he has also announced that he is running a PAC in the next political move for him after running. And so he's going to join us via StreamYard, and so he'll be on the live stream. We're going to talk about, you know, because I think some of it was interesting when this first was announced, I think a week or so ago, maybe it was just last week. And I think there was a little bit on the heels of Mandela Barnes announcing that he was doing a PAC. And so I'm going to definitely ask him what the appeal is of having this be kind of the pivot for so many candidates after their campaigns end. But also, you know, he's a New York guy. That's where he grew up.
Right.
And at least in the article that Bill Glauber wrote for Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, he made it pretty clear that him and his wife and their daughter, like, he's staying in Milwaukee. And so I think it's interesting to see, like, you know, when you can live anywhere, why you choose a place. And so we'll have a good conversation about that. But to start off, you know, I saw a handful of these headlines, and any of them would have been prime candidates for the ticked off tee off. But then I said, well, why pick one when we can just play three headlines and a lie?
Fantastic.
So, Jane Matinair, I am going to read four headlines. Three are real. One is not.
Okay.
See if you can pick which one is the lie. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves unsure whether providing mothers health care would help their health. That is number one.
Okay.
Headline number two. Lawmaker censured for asking if fatal child abuse saves taxpayer money.
That's quite something.
That is quite something. Number three, sweeping abortion bill will be heard in Senate, sent to the Agriculture Committee.
An abortion bill. Measure.
Not for cows. It's not whether you can abort cows.
This is a women's health care bill that is going to the Agriculture Committee. I just want to make sure I understand. Yep. Okay.
And then finally, cops apologizes for pro-life cupcake day by offering free scoop for every abortion.
But cops, the ice cream people? Custard.
Custard.
The custard people. All right. Three of those are real.
Three of those are real.
And one is a lie.
One is a lie.
Can we go through them once more?
We sure can. Number one, Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves unsure whether providing mothers health care would help their health.
Okay.
Number two, lawmaker censured for asking if fatal child abuse saves taxpayers money. Number three, sweeping abortion bill will be heard in Senate, sent to Agriculture Committee. And finally, Cops apologizes for pro-life cupcake day by offering free scoop for every abortion.
I'm tempted to go with the abortion bill going to the Agriculture Committee, but I can actually see that happening. So I am going with the cops story as the lie.
You are correct. That was a headline written by our friends over at Wisconsin News Today. We actually did cover that story of cops. I think this was over the summer when they, or maybe in the fall, when they, there's a pro-life cupcake day. And so they made that a flavor and then they immediately took it off and changed it. But then they wrote an apology and then the apology got way more attention than the initial declaration of having that flavor. And so this was a joke satire from Wisconsin News Today.
Which we love them.
We love them. They've been on the show before. They are very funny. I highly suggest following them on social media because they have some pretty great fake headlines. But all three of those other ones, real. All three of those other ones, real, and happened in basically in the last week, which is something. And it's really just something because you think about all the people involved in those stories very much consider themselves pro-life people. When they talk about Governor Tate Reeves saying there's not enough data to know that extending postpartum care actually helps women after they have babies.
There's not enough data?
Not enough data.
There's none whatsoever.
We'll take these little one by one. We have about 2 minutes left. We'll just start with Mississippi governor of the state with one of the highest maternal mortality rates. Governor Tate Reeves on Thursday reiterated that he really wants to help more mothers and babies. After all, it's the right thing to do, the post-Roe abortion ban in Mississippi. What with their third world levels of infant and maternal mortality. But he's not sure spending $7 million to draw down tens of millions of federal dollars to provide thousands of mothers with 12 months of postpartum health care instead of 60 days would help them. He needs more data.
Oh.
More study on the issue.
You don't want to rush into things like this.
But providing $10 million in tax credits for crisis pregnancy centers that provide no real health care but counsel women not to get abortions, even though they're banned now anyways in Mississippi, and give them diapers, well, apparently that would be money well spent. It's unclear what data shows that. So $10 million in tax credits, but $7 million for extended postpartum care? Too much money. We need more data.
Yeah, can't do that.
Whoo! Pro-life. Let's help the mothers.
Right, because we love life.
We love life. We want to support mothers. And welcome to Mississippi. So that is number one. We will dive a little bit deeper into the other two headlines that were real, very real. The Alaska state senator who asked in real life, in session, whether or not taxpayers would save money. Would it be a benefit to society if children who were victims of child abuse died?
I have sound on that,
oh,
by the
great.
Way.
Great. And then the other one that was very much real is that in Wyoming, they are sending their sweeping restrictive abortion bill not to the health committee, to the agriculture committee. Ticked off, tee off. This is it. As goes Wisconsin.
Work, the kids' practices, household errands, seems like every hour's rush hour at our house. But no matter how busy things get, we still make balanced nutrition a priority with help from Country Hearth Natural Breads. Whole grains and other natural ingredients are carefully blended and baked into delicious, nutritious breads like Dakota-style 12-grain, multi-grain, and 100% whole wheat. There's a Country Hearth favorite for everyone in the family. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Weather on this snowy day in Milwaukee could be brought to us by your pizza delivery business. Can you imagine how many families are snuggled in their homes enjoying hot, tasty pizza? Weather makes the phone ring for just $199 per week. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. Mainly clear this afternoon with a high of 34. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows level off around 20. Highs around 39. Tomorrow, bright sunshine. Temps a bit above average Monday and Tuesday with highs from the low 40s to the mid 40s. Chance for scattered showers Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. Coming up after this segment, Alex Lazary will be joining us to talk about his new PAC that is focused on mayoral and county executive campaigns. It's called Next Wisconsin. And then at noon, George Stanley, former editor of Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, will be here in person for the full hour. It's going to be a great conversation. But right now, in the ticked off tee off, we played a fun game of three headlines and a lie, pro-life edition, pro-life in quotation marks.
Yeah.
We already covered one of the real headlines, which is that Governor Tate Reeves of Mississippi, unsure that providing mothers health care would actually help their health, needs more data. And the next one takes us to Alaska. Sorry, I think I said before he was a state senator. He is a representative.
He's a rep, yep.
But Alaska State Rep David Eastman, who's a Republican, asked about the position that it's actually a benefit to society because there aren't needs for government services when a child who's a victim of child abuse dies.
Let's take a listen.
Can you say that again? Did you say a benefit for society?
Talking dollars. Now, you've got a $1.5 million price tag here for victims of fatal child abuse. It gets argued periodically that it's actually a cost savings because that child is not going to need any of those government services that they might otherwise be entitled to receive and need based on growing up in this type of environment.
Through the chair, Representative, I guess that would be the idea, if I can use a really bad analogy, when you hit somebody, you always back up because it's cheaper to insurance. I don't pertain to that, and I'm really, I'm not even sure how to answer that.
You should watch the video because the man who is responding represents children who have been abused. Yes. and all, he was just dumbfounded.
I mean, he said, he's like, I'm sorry, can you say that again?
Yeah.
And basically, he has been censured. The only other person to be censured in the Alaskan state legislature, also David Eastman.
Oh, well, he's two for two.
Back in, I saw it in the Washington Post article, and now I lost my spot. But, he thought he did something there. Because he considers, when I was reading about this, he considers abortion the cruelest form of child abuse. This is his belief. So he thought he was extending the argument that, because the question gets raised, when you force people to have children they are not financially ready to have,
right,
the extent that government assistance is going to be needed to be able to provide for kids who are now born into bad situations. So he was trying to extend that to children who were already alive and well and grown to the point that they are in foster care or in really bad situations. And this guy was there to basically talk about the argument of advocating for children, and that if they die, the economic impact of that is losing like $1.5 million because of the fact that it's lost wages, right? It's their
earning potential.
Their earning potential into society. And this was the question this guy with a very punchable face thought that was really a gotcha.
Oh, yeah.
He was just playing devil's advocate. That was his text message back to a journalist covering the story. I was just playing devil's advocate.
I'm just asking questions.
All right. And finally, over to Wyoming.
Oh, this is a doozy.
Sweeping abortion bill will be heard in Senate, sent to Ag Committee. Could you imagine?
I only have one response to this, and that is moo.
I know. So after a nearly two-week hangup in the Senate, the most ambitious abortion restriction bill in the Wyoming legislature has ever considered is back on track. It's the Life is a Human Right bill, and it's now being sent to the Senate Agriculture Committee, where it's likely to receive an affirmative vote, and a much faster affirmative vote than the concerns over sending it to the Health Committee, where it's still chaired by Republicans, but more moderate Republicans. So they might have asked a couple more questions.
Well, we don't want them asking questions. So let's send it
to the people in charge of animals.
Yes, the Agriculture Committee. If women in Wyoming are not deeply offended by this, I don't understand. I don't understand.
And what I also don't understand is the commitment, even though this is a losing issue. How many times and how many election cycles are certain Republicans going to cling to this and try to keep pushing these kinds of bills through until they realize that even a lot of Republican women do not want this? And this is a losing issue. I mean, I can't wait for Marquette Law School polling to come out, because you know now it will, going into this Wisconsin Supreme Court election, and what they find on what and why people are motivated to vote in this election.
Yes.
And I guarantee abortion's still at the top of that.
I agree with you. And I am surprised that some are surprised that stripping bodily autonomy from 50% of the population is not popular. Who could have thunk that?
Who could have predicted this?
Who would have seen that coming, and why didn't anyone warn them?
If I would have only talked to the women in my life.
Oh, I should have asked some questions, maybe. Boy, missed opportunity.
So, reading those, I am happy that we still live in Wisconsin.
Amen.
Right? All three of those are mind-numbing.
They are.
How frustrating and infuriating they are, and how dangerous all of those questions actually are. All right, well, when we come back, Alex Lazary will be here to talk about Next Wisconsin, his next political move in a PAC, Political Action Committee. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
CBS News Brief. Whether you are joyous about the snow in California or stuck in ugly traffic due to flooding and rain, that storm is affecting millions. Plus, it's likely to drop below freezing in some places tonight. Jeff Maurer is at the Weather Channel.
We're talking about rainfall totals stretching from about 2 to 7 inches so far from the system, even some 10-inch plus totals across the foothills, so the ground's already saturated. And as this area of low pressure pushes inland today, we're not done, unfortunately. Some more heavy rain will be possible, and as a result, there is a flood watch in effect through this afternoon.
The U.S. is stepping up aid to Ukraine as the second year of the Russian war there begins. CBS's Christina Ruffini.
One man, Vladimir Putin, started this war. One man can end it.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken told the United Nations Security Council Russia holds the key to resolution.
If Russia stops fighting and leaves Ukraine, the war ends.
Protests are continuing around the globe. CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
As goes Wisconsin.
Mandela Barnes, future runs. Not yes, not no.
You know, I'm not closing the door, right? Like, taking a loss is not easy. And it's tough, too, when it's such a razor-thin margin. You know, I know some people who just get up right away and decide they want to run again. Like,
yeah.
I'm not there. But, you know, it's all timing.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold, 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday mornings at 8 on the Shaw and on the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. I was reminded of Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
I was reminded of Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Business like show, business like no business I know. Everything about it is appealing. Everything that traffic will allow. No way could you get that happy feeling when you are stealing that extra bow.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Medner. And we are so excited for our guest this half hour, Rich Smith, who is the Managing Artistic Director at Over Our Head Players. It's Over Our Head Players, but it's also the 6th Street Theater? Yeah, so the 6th Street Theater is like a project of the Over Our Head Players. Ah, yeah. So okay. We've got our own space. We grew up and just got our own theater, so we named it that so people could find it. Got it.
Because it's on 6th Street.
So it's on 6th Street. So Jane was strange. I had not heard of this. So I grew up in Madison. All right. Doing theater there. I am a theater kid.
Love it.
And we have Jane and I have a shared passion for the arts. We have a bucket list today now to do a play together.
Oh, let's do it.
With all of our extra free time that we have.
Oh, yes.
But eventually we want it. Yeah, so maybe you can help us find it, a two-person play that we can do together. But Jane was like, I want to get Rich Smith on because the story of Over Our Head Players is so great.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so why don't we just start with you telling the story?
Rich, get up on that mic for me, would you?
Sure. Can you hear me better now?
That's better.
Is this okay? Thank you very much for the Ethel Merman lead-in, by the way.
Of course.
Outstanding. It was like early 1980s, and we had a group of actors and comedians. We actually did comedy sports for a while in Racine and Milwaukee, and we wanted to do some theater, and I had done a couple of things with Janie at the Guild, and we had a friend who owned a bar, and we found a couple of plays, and we started doing theater in the bar, and we thought it would just be this one-time thing, and then it started selling out, and the bar's full, and the bar owner at the time loved it, you know, because he was making a lot of money on drinks, and our green room was upstairs, and backstage was actually in the bar itself. So they would close the bar, hang up curtains, and then open up the side room for the audience. And so when we left the stage, we would literally just be standing at the bar. and we would have drinks off stage, and you could smoke in the bar then. So there were some really unique stories about missed entrances and things because we were busy doing other stuff. But
very serious actors. We were very, very serious, dedicated actors.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, Andy DeSalvo missed an entrance because he needed one more drag on his parliament before he went. But anyhow.
Because obviously this is a point where you could still smoke inside.
This was the 80s. Absolutely. Yeah, this is the 80s and early 90s.
Yeah, yeah. So that went on for 7 years. We did that, and we didn't know what was going to become of it. And we just started saving our money, and we had a larger following. I was kind of going to school part time to finish my theater degree at the time, and so we took the cash and started our own theater. So that's when we started the Sixth Street Theater, and that was 31 years ago already.
Oh my gosh!
Wow.
Rich.
Yeah.
I mean, 31 years.
By. I know it. I got a picture of one of the first plays Janie did with us. I should have brought it in. Pictures don't show up too good on radio.
That's true. That's true.
Is it from Cheese Louise?
It was from Cheese Louise. Yeah, it was fun.
So, so what were the kind of plays you guys were, like, how would you choose what you were, doing Shakespeare? Were you doing, like, Tennessee Williams? Were you coming up with your own shows? Like, how would you choose when it was still in the bar? Like, what was the criteria of shows you would put up?
Well, so Racine is so lucky. There's another theater on the other side of town, the Racine Theater Guild, that is just fantastic.
Yes.
And been there for a long time.
And that's where we met.
Right. We were in the Odd Couple female version together. And I wasn't one of the Odd Couple. Cause
I was going to say,
But I'm willing to do that if they ask me. But so we wanted to do things that complemented the other theater group in town because we were friends. You know, it wasn't like a competing thing. So we like to pick things that are a little more on the edge, I guess we like to say.
Okay.
You know, we're not going to shy away from language or subject matter. So we're kind of the off-Broadway. And we're built of mostly comedians. So we lean on that primarily. But we're not afraid to do drama once in a while. So we mix it up. And that's kind of how we choose our material.
But Over Our Head Players have also written their own material.
Oh yeah, we do a lot of original things too. Recently, we started doing the series. It's a series now, Kringle the Musical.
Okay.
So we wrote a musical about how Kringle came to Racine, and it went over great. So now we're writing Kringle the Musical Part 4 for next year. And its working title is 7 Mile Fair Lady. So. We're going to see what happens. So we do original stuff. We have fun. We don't take ourselves too seriously. And we've just been fortunate enough to grow this great audience. Our theater only seats about 90 people. So when we do something like Snow Dance that really sells out, you know, we do like 26, 27 performances, you know, just to get everybody in, you know, that we can before we say no, which is a great problem to have in the arts, you know. So we're fortunate. Yeah.
And you're a nonprofit, you're a 501(c), right, Rich?
Correct. Yeah.
So nobody's making, you've been doing this for 31 years since you opened the theater. I didn't see your Maserati outside.
No, I'm still driving a Volkswagen Beetle, Jane.
But we were talking before you came in, everyone does this because they love it.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the wonderful thing about community theater, of course. But, you know, theater in general, people end up in theaters because they love it. No, very few of us get rich off of it, for sure.
And so I want to get back to that because listening to this story, it's like Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, I mean, really, it's not, that's the origin story of Steppenwolf in Chicago, is just a bunch of friends. And whenever I hear any of those, I mean, obviously some of those actors became very, very famous. Yes. But when they talk about how they started, it was just, they were all at, was it DePaul? That they were all in theater school and they just started doing plays.
Yeah.
And they just started putting up and they would gender, cross gender and play different roles and everyone wanted to play different characters. And it was just an opportunity to play the characters that you may not get cast in because you are the ones producing it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so like that so much reminds me of that story of just like choosing your own destiny by just taking the leap and saying, well, I don't care if we get paid, we're just going
to
do it.
Yeah. We compare ourselves to the Steppenwolf all the time. No, I'm kidding. That was
am I wrong here as far as the origin story being similar?
It is similar. The energy comes from the same place, yes. And it's love of theater, and good things come from great energy. And we were lucky enough to have this great group of people, Jane included, early on that just loved doing it, got along together, had fun, and it couldn't fail. So a beautiful thing came out of that beautiful energy, and it's still going on.
We laughed so much, and did. At least the few that I was able to do with overhead players, we did some of the silliest plays I have ever heard of in my
so let's
life.
Hear some of those, because then I do want to get more into Snowdance, because it's going on right now, but it's sold out, so people have to go next year. But I want to get to the origin story of that, but let's hear about some of the fun plays you were in.
Just a reminder, Rich Smith is our guest. He's with Over Our Head Players in the 6th Street Theater in Racine, just talking about the theater and the founding of the theater. And the first one I think I did with you guys, Rich, was Murder at the Howard Johnson's, right?
I think it was. And that play, actually, that was brand new when we did it. And it went on to, it's kind of a popular play now. It's like a dinner theater thing.
Oh, a standard. But, oh, that's great.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's Murder at the Howard Johnson's, about, you know, a guy who's going to murder his wife to get the money at the Howard Johnson's. That's act one. And then act two is it's in the same Howard Johnson's room where the guy's now getting murdered by the girlfriend he was leaving to go to the wife. I mean, it's just a twisted, goofy, fun story. Yeah, but I think that was it. Yeah, that was the first one.
The first one, and then the second one for sure was Cheese Louise.
Yes.
And we ended up doing that again because it was so popular and by far the silliest thing I have ever done in my entire life.
It was
so much fun.
What is the premise of Cheese Louise?
Rich, I'll let you explain that.
So Cheese Louise takes place in the Wisconsin Dells in the 1970s, where Augie and Louise own their own business. It's the Bump and Pump, which is a bumper car gas station combination.
That isn't a real thing. Someone should create that business.
It should be. And a Chicago, a Flatlander, as they call him, dies on the bumper car machine, and so they're all in jail. And they have to figure out a way to raise money to get a lawyer and get out of jail. So they put on a variety show called the Bump and Pump-a-thon to raise money. And it's just goofy fun, just goofy Wisconsin fun. And it was such a blast. It was actually written by some people in Chicago, a theater group in Chicago called the Illegitimate Players. And we saw it down there in a little storefront theater back in the 80s and went to them and said, can we do this in Wisconsin? And they're like, oh, yeah, take it. Do you need any money? No, we don't care. Just do it. So we
did. That's why all artists are poor.
Exactly. And so we've done that twice now. And Janie reprised the character Momo a couple times for us. And sold out. The whole run sold out each time. Yeah, it's fun.
Have you done it? You've done it both times. Are you going to bring it back ever?
We're talking about it, actually, for our 30th anniversary. Yeah,
really?
We're actually talking about it. Yeah, yeah.
That sounds like a great premise.
Yeah. The characters are all timeless and ageless. But you would have to say the Dells is so different now than it was in the 80s, you know. But you'd have stuff set it in the 70s. But that was great fun. Yeah.
And so with the it sounds like a lot of the shows are lesser known playwrights or originals.
Yeah.
And so, but what, as far as the actors who end up back then, today, is it equity? Is it just people who live in Racine and want to act? Or like who finds themselves in Over Our Head Players productions?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's primarily community theater. Okay. We, you know, the vast majority of us are volunteers. We started a program, like a stipend program, a few years ago where we bring in artistic associates for each season. And that allows us to have some really talented people in our company committed to the season, not unlike what a repertory theater would do. And so that helps. So we've got this sort of hybrid of mostly volunteers, but, you know, a few talented people we can keep around and use. And that system works well for us. It's such a small space. We don't have huge dollars, you know, to do a whole lot with. So that's the way we run now. Yeah.
And so do people in the community, is there an open audition?
Absolutely. Yeah, we do an open audition for every show, and it's fantastic. We have new faces all the time. And community, I mean, I think everybody listening has probably got someone, you know, a daughter, a friend, or someone who's performed in community theater or theater in general, or they've been an audience member. I mean, it touches everyone. And when you think about the value to a community beyond, sure, it's going to give us entertainment, a night out, somewhere to go see the guy next door play Hamlet or whatever. I don't know. You can look at it any way you want. But it also reaches out to people like you. Like you say, you're a theater kid, and people like Jane and people, whoever else, who might live in another community if they didn't have this opportunity for them as artists to go and perform. So absolutely, it's all about people in the community.
I would have kept performing or at least auditioning for Over Our Head Players, Rich. It just became geographically impossible.
Oh, it was awful. Yeah.
You know, I was working really early mornings. And
Janie had that morning gig, and she would drive. She would spend the night at my place a couple of times with my wife at the time, and crash on the couch. And she was such an early riser because she had all those morning programs that she was doing at that time. You know, can I mention other radio stations? I don't have to, but but it was a joke because you know, we'd get home from a performance at, you know, 1 a.m. or whatever, and Jane would hit the couch and pass out, and then we'd get up at 8 in the morning, and Jane's already up drinking coffee, talking to the paper boy on the front porch, and.
We had some good parties, boy.
We had
some legendary parties.
I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall back then. All right, well, we have to take a break right now, but when we come back, let's hear more about Snowdance and how that started, what it has become, how people get shows into Snowdance, because as far as you said, it's 10-minute plays.
Yep.
And it's submissions from all over the world.
All over the world, yeah.
And what year did it start?
It started in 2005.
Okay, so over 17th year?
This is the 19th year, technically, yeah.
Can I not do math?
That's why we're theater kids.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, seasons were, it was 04 or 05 season. So
okay.
I guess that's
all right. All right. Well, we'll come back and talk about that. But our guest this half hour is Rich Smith, who is the managing artistic director for Over Our Head Players and the 6th Street Theater. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
When your heart beats like a drum, the closing when the customers don't come. There's no business like no business, like no business I know. You get word before the show has started that your favorite uncle died at dawn. And top of that, your pa and ma have parted. You're brokenhearted, but you go on. There's no people like no people. They smile when they are lost. With a turkey that you know will hold, you may be stranded out in the cold. Still, you wouldn't change it for a sack of gold. Let's go on with the show. Let's go on with the show.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Weather on this snowy, snowy day could be brought to us by your business. Can you imagine how many ice augers and fishing shanties are being bought as we speak? Weather sponsorships make the phone ring. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast.
Miles per hour. Lows level off around 23 tonight. Overcast skies. Overcast again tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 26. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained, this is Civic Media.
Make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My dad said be an actor, my son. But be a comical one. They'll be standing in lines for those.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And we are talking to Rich Smith, who is the managing artistic director of Over Our Head Players in the 6th Street Theater in Racine. And so you're in the middle of Snowdance right now. And so tell people what... I guess tell people how it started and what it's become.
Yeah, so we wanted to do, you know, we like to do new things, different things. And like short attention span theater in general is like is grown in popularity with playwrights. Like people like writing shorter pieces. So we said, well, let's just do a 10-minute comedy festival, but let's make it obviously comedies. And let's let the audience vote on who they thought was the funniest play. And so years ago, we came up with the idea and we thought, well, maybe we'll get 30 or 40 submissions from around Racine or wherever, and we can tie it together with a little sketch material in between each one and introduce them and take them seriously. And then, you know, call our audience judges, as it were. And then at the end of the run, the plays that are the three funniest will give a cash prize, you know, and we didn't know what to expect. And that first year we did it, we got about 150 submissions, and it was like, well, that's pretty cool. And so we kept it going, and every year we average around 500 or 600 plays. The Dramatists Guild is aware of us, and it's really exciting now because Snowdance has been the premiere of a lot of these. So once in a while, you'll see like a compilation of 10-minute comedies, and you open it up, and then the original cast and directors and the inside of the script, and that's always a great honor, you know, so.
How cool is that?
Yeah, I love that. Cool. Love that.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
And so of the 500 to 600 applicants, how many do you end up putting up for each season or each festival?
Yeah, so this year we had 720 submissions. From all over the world. We've got one finalist that's from Florence, Italy, and it's a funny play. So we'll try to do as many as we can, but we like to keep the show around 2 hours. So with a little sketch thing in the middle and then say, all right, now here's play number 5 from whoever from whatever city. Boom. And then we just keep it moving. So we'll do 8 to 10. One year we did 11. This current Snowdance has 9 finalists.
That is a lot of no's. For those people. And so what's the do you read all 700?
Yeah.
Wow.
You do, Rich. You read
well,
every
I'm gonna be
single
honest.
One.
This year I probably like I tried to read them all cover to cover. This year I did less of that. I had some other people helping with what we call the triage process. So the triage process is when you take a script and you read it and you say, yeah, it should be reread. No, it shouldn't be read. And then we have a third pile that we call the police. And the call the police pile is usually because it's disturbing, and we want it to be read again for probably the wrong reasons. But